Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your songbooks and turn to song number 11. Song number 11 in your songbooks. We'll sing "He Died for Me," if you would stand. And we'll sing song number 11. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to change with his death, no, not a word he spoke. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my veins his blood had spilled and helped to nail him there. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I the Lord have slain. Can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. His blood is for my ransom paid. I die that thou mayst live. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, your Son, thank you, God, for just another day that we get to meet in your house and to hear your word preached. I pray, Lord, that you would just fill our pastor with your power and spirit. And I pray, Lord, also that you would be all honored and glorified out of everything that's said and done. We love you and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And turning your songbooks just one page over to song number 12. Song number 12 in your songbooks will sing Blessed Redeemer. Song number 12. On Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on a cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. E'en while his life blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen. So welcome to Mountain Baptist Church on this Sunday morning, and just some general church announcements here. First of all, just be in prayer for those that aren't feeling well. James had a fever, and he seems to be doing fine now, but the kids are back home, so hopefully it doesn't go through that whole vicious circle, you know how it usually goes. But just be in prayer for those that may be not feeling well, especially with all this weather changing and everything. As far as our service times, everything is normal today. We have, obviously, our morning service right now. We have our afternoon service at 4 p.m., but don't forget about the soul winning time at 1 p.m., and so if you want to go out soul winning with us, then meet up here a little before 1 o'clock. We'll get teamed up and head out. Maybe we'll find an indoor place today. So, I saw a meme as far as the weather. It said that the temperature went from 90 to 55 like it saw a state trooper. I mean, it literally did. Like, as soon as it was, like, fall, it's just like, boom, all right, it's time for fall. So, it is what it is. Then the other soul winning times there, Brother Charles leads up the Monday time. Brother Matt leads up the Tuesday time, and Brother Matt's in the Salem area. And then Brother Richie leads up that Wednesday time, and he should be back. I think they're getting in this morning or something like that. But they're coming back from Romania. I think the final number was 49 salvations. So praise the Lord for that. I know at least a couple baptisms. I didn't hear about any other baptisms, but that's a great number. I mean, I would have been happy to hear that he got a couple people saved, because you never know with those areas, those different countries, how they are towards the gospel. But I mean, that's worth the trip right there for sure. One soul would have been worth the trip, but at the same time, like, that's a lot. That's a lot more than I thought there would be. Just be in prayer for them if they're still getting in and all that. And then as far as our prayer meeting, sorry for the confusion on all that stuff. As far as the times for the prayer meetings, I forgot that the 30th and the 1st, like, happened right after each other. So last week I was like, yeah, you know, this coming Saturday is the women's prayer meeting, when it was actually yesterday. But the men's prayer meeting, we moved to this coming Friday. And then we have the retreat coming up. So that's going to be here in a couple weeks. So everybody should be on the list there. I think we figured out the food situation, what we're doing. I have a plan for the hot dog. Well, actually, Holly gave me an idea for a plan on making that easy as far as how we're going to do that second meal. So, when it comes to that retreat, just remember this, that we're going to be providing the dinners for Thursday and Friday. As far as the breakfast and lunch, let us know if you need any help with that. Obviously, we can supply all that if you need it, but everybody's going to be in their own cabin. So, if you need help there, if you need help with transportation, anything like that, we want to make it completely free if it needs to be, meaning that, if you for any reason you can't make it out and you're like, I can't make it because of this or this, we'll take care of it. Make sure that you let us know if there's any needs there. As far as memory chapter, so we'll be doing chapters, just kind of single chapters. We're going to do the book of First Thessalonians. So we're going to start in chapter 1 this month, And partially because I don't have it memorized, so I want to memorize 1 Thessalonians. So, we're going to go through all 5 chapters, obviously month by month. And so get started on that starting now. And don't forget, when you memorize a book of the Bible or memorize even a chapter, there's Bibles that you can win for that. So, and then 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 is our memory verse for the week. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. So that is our memory verse for the week. And so that'll be pertinent for our sermon this morning. And speaking of the Sunday morning sermon specifically, I'm kind of going through big stories in the Bible. And so we had kind of a tradition for the children where we would ask questions after the sermon on the sermon. So that's going to start again today. So so children, pay attention because you may win a piece of candy. So we'll be doing that probably on the Sunday mornings at least. But if I do a sermon on something that's kind of a big topic and it's not super complicated, then we'll probably do something like that. So, and then birthdays, what do we have coming up here? What is today, the 2nd? Yep. So it is Teresa Murphy's birthday. So happy birthday. We'll have to sing happy birthday to her. And then Hannah Ford is tomorrow. I always have to look at the calendar because I can't think out loud like how many days are in this week. And then we have Catherine. We'll have to get her later. Ruth and Anthony. You guys have the same birthday? I should have probably known that. But so Ruth and Anthony. And then that's it for this week. So there's a lot of October birthdays. Good night. I almost need another sheet here to get them all on here. How old are you going to be, brother? 36. Youngin'. Actually, you're younger than me. So I don't ask the ladies. So, obviously, so Teresa's 1. And then Hannah, how old's Hannah? 2. Big 2. So, we'll sing happy birthday to all these before we do our last song. Anniversaries, my parents are coming up at the end of the month here. And then pregnancies, I'll be in prayer for my wife under the pregnancy list. We did find out we're having another boy, so the girls are really excited about that. And so, I called my brother up after that. I called my older brother, Joseph, because Holly told the ladies, and then all the husbands knew from the ladies' chat. And I'm like, I need to call, like, my family before, like, they get to church and be like, oh, you know, I heard your brother's having another boy. And be like, yeah, first I heard. So we're excited about that, trying to figure out a name. I have a name picked out, but I think it's, I might go with it just because. So anyway, but we'll figure that out. As far as other things, offering boxes in the back there if you want to give a tithe or offering. The mother baby rooms for the mothers and babies only. And so unless you have to run in and get your child, it is for mothers and babies only. We do try to keep the bigger children out as well. That's about all I got for announcements that I can think of. Oh, yes. Thanks, Brother Charles. I've been meaning to, like, say this announcement for a while now. So, and if you're parked there, don't worry about it right now because obviously I haven't made this announcement. So we have those handicapped spots out there, and we've all been parking in them and all that, but we do have people that do kind of need those handicapped spots as far as both the handicapped spots and the spot in between there, as far as like for wheelchair accessibility and all that stuff. So from here on out, let's just try to keep out of those spots unless you really need those spots. And obviously I was parking there too and all that. You're not going to get fined. You know, this isn't City Hall anymore, you know, where they're going to come and put a ticket on there. But we do want to kind of keep that open for those that need that kind of extra room and get up that ramp right there. So anyway, I've been meaning to say that for a long time and I keep forgetting. So I'm going to try to keep making that announcement just so that we're reminded of that. But besides that, that's about all I got for announcements. Brother Dave's going to come and sing one more song. But before that, we're going to do the birthdays. And then Brother Shane is reading Genesis chapter 19 for us this morning.
All right, take your psalm books and turn to song number 14. Song number 14. We'll sing Kneel at the Cross, but before we do that, we need to sing happy birthday to all of these October birthdays. That was a lot, man. Okay, so what day is it today? All day long. All right, so we got Teresa and her birthday is today, Hannah. And then we got Catherine, Ruth. Okay. All right. Well, everybody that can or is able, stand up. Teresa's standing up. Yep. Hannah's standing up. Come on, brother. We're too good at friends. I'm just kind of. All right. So we'll sing happy birthday to y'all. And here we go. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. All right. Then we will sing song number 14. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. List to his voice, leave with him your care, and begin a life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, there is room for all who would his glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can never befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. Give your idols up. Look unto realms above. Turn not away to life's sparkling cup. Trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19 in your Bibles, and we'll have Brother Shane read that for us.
Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, if you found your place, say amen. And there came two angels to Sodom and Eben, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet. And you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they say, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made him them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after them. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For there came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee thither, escape. Escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar, and the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground. And his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham gat him up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain. And he beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that he may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I yesternight with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and he called his name Moab. And the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammim. And the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you to be gathered in your house today. I just pray you be with our pastor and just fill him with your spirit. Help us to learn from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So you're there in Genesis chapter 19, and this is definitely a rough passage to be reading on Sunday morning, but I'm going through big stories in the Bible, and Sodom and Gomorrah is a big story. Now this may be, our channel may get taken down again because of this sermon, because this story is like banned from YouTube. To even talk about Sodom and Gomorrah or talk about this story is just anathema when it comes to the world. They don't want to hear it. Because I think it hits too close to home with what is actually going on in the world. And go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Our memory verse is there in 2 Peter chapter 2. So if you're looking for a light and fluffy sermon this morning, it's not going to happen. There's no way you can read through Genesis 19 and read about Sodom and Gomorrah and this be just a whole bed of roses when it comes to this sermon. But children, you need to know this sermon. You need to know this story. Just as much as you know the flood, Noah and the flood, You need to know this story about Sodom and Gomorrah because just as a warning, it's an example. Now, notice what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." This story is brought up many times in the New Testament. This story is brought up throughout the Old Testament because it's an example. It's an ensample. It's something to say, hey, this was done so that you wouldn't do it again. And the wickedness that you read in Genesis 19 and the stuff that was going on there, and God, you say, well, how does God feel about that? Well, he destroyed it with fire and brimstone. And actually, there's a video I saw where they believe Sodom and Gomorrah was, because there's no one living there anymore, but where they believe it is, they actually found sulfur, like, balls that were preserved through water or something like that. It has to do with how it's still there after thousands of years. But you can literally light them on fire, and the sulfur just, like, melts. It's like this molten, like, brimstone, if you will, that's still there, okay? Now, I don't need that to believe the story. I believed the story before that ever came out. You can find chariot wheels in the bottom of the Red Sea, and guess what? You can find that, but I still believe that Moses, that God parted the Red Sea. I don't need to see all these physical things to know that, but if anybody says, well, why are you talking about that? That was thousands of years ago. Why are we talking about Sodom and Gomorrah? Because it's an example unto those that after should live ungodly. In America, you need to wake up to what's going on in our country when it comes to the sodomites, when it comes to homosexuality, when it comes to the queers and the fags that are in the world. And you may not like that language, but you know what? Sometimes you need a good kick in the pants as far as what's going on in America or in the world. Now, keep reading there. I want you to read this because this kind of gives you a synopsis and it gives you a lot of information when you're going back and looking at this story in Genesis chapter 19. And it's interesting, actually, Brother Matt Racine preached, I think it was called The Failures of Lot last week. And so, and he's like, he's like, hopefully that was a good sermon and all that. I'm like, man, that just like segues right into what, because I'm going down the line as far as these stories. And Sodom and Gomorrah was next on the list. We were going through Genesis and all that. Look there at verse 7 here. It says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." If it wasn't for this passage, I would question whether Lot was saved. When you read through that passage, you're kind of like, what in the world's going on here? Like, how in the world could he allow these things to happen? What's going on? But in the New Testament, it does tell us, hey, he was saved. He was righteous. He was born again. He was saved. But obviously, he was in this wicked area and with this wicked country not to excuse the things that he allowed to happen, but at the same time, you know, you're dealing with a saved guy that's there. Okay, so I want you to keep that in mind. Verse 9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." So I want you to kind of just keep this in mind that, hey, this story is for an example unto us. Unto those, you say, well, is it for right now? Well, I'll say this, 2 Peter and Jude, go to Jude, chapter 1, Jude, verse 7 there. You know, it's getting as far to the end of the Bible as you can get as far as mentioning Sodom and Gomorrah. And yes, it's still relevant. Actually, Sodom's mentioned in Revelation because it says that Jerusalem, that holy city, is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt. And so when it comes to America, you know what? Spiritually speaking, in a lot of cases, in a lot of places, it's Sodom. And you know what? There needs to be a wake-up call, or there's going to be fire and brimstone that's coming down. It's interesting that California keeps having all these fires, and they're like the cesspool when it comes to all this wickedness. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not going on in other places. But look at verse 7 there. It says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Strange flesh. You know another word for strange? Queer. Strange flesh. And this is something that is being promoted as being godly. It's being pushed as being something that you need to accept. Not only do you not, you can't say anything against it, you have to say it's righteous. And, you know, my girls, obviously I'm homeschooling my kids. Well, my wife is, I'm helping, you know, but you know, the question is like, why aren't you going to put them in public school? Well, you know, one reason is I don't trust them to keep my kids safe. If they're not going to arm themselves, they're not going to actually, take the necessary precautions when you have psychopaths and people that are going to break into a school and shoot up your children, then no. You know, I carry all the time. I carry when I'm at home. When I'm outside, I'm always carrying because Jesus said, "If you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one." And you know what? The safety of our kids is paramount. And when it comes to public schools, that's number one. I don't trust them to keep my kids safe. Two, I don't want this garbage being shoved down their throat of all this wicked garbage that's being pushed today. And listen, take a poll of the people that are in public school today that are teaching. And I'm not saying I obviously know some teachers that are good people that aren't wicked and all that. But take a poll of people that are in public school and see where they lean politically. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that's conservative in the public school system. And so, yeah, I don't want that indoctrination coming down on my kids. I don't trust them to, one, keep them safe, and not shove this LGBTQAARP garbage down their throat. I'm not going to do it. You know, when I went to public school back in, you know, the 90s and into the 2000s a little bit, it wasn't like this. You know, there was definitely a little more, it's probably more accepting than back, you know, when my parents went to public school, but it wasn't like this. Now they have gender-neutral bathrooms. You know, basically anybody can go into these bathrooms. You know what they're doing? They're basically opening the door for Sodom and Gomorrah in schools. Now go to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Let's talk about Sodom for a second before we get into the story of where it gets destroyed. So the name of the sermon is The Destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the one thing that you have to realize, first of all, is that not all sin is equal. Okay? This is something that's preached and said, you know, that all sin is equal. But Jesus said, "He that delivered you unto me," or "delivered me unto you, hath the greater sin, and will have the greater damnation." To think that stealing a pencil or stealing a cookie is the same as raping somebody, murdering somebody in cold blood, you're insane if you think those are the same. Now, are they both sin? Yeah, because sin is the transgression against the law. So yeah, telling a lie, stealing something, yeah, that's a sin. But to think that, you know, what's being pushed is like, well, aren't you a sinner? Who are you the judge? Well, let's see what the Bible says about the sins that are going on in Sodom. So in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." So if you know the story, basically Abraham and Lot, their herdmen, were fighting, and basically they're like, "We need to separate. There's too many of us." And Abraham gave Lot the choice, wherever you want to go. And he chose the plain of Jordan. And it says in verse 12, "And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." So when Lot is basically, he's in the plain, he's not in Sodom yet, but he's pitching his tent toward Sodom, basically just looking at it. And you know what? That's where it starts. Because, you know what, lust when it hath conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. But lust starts with the eye, because you're looking at it, and then that all comes in. And Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 18. So they are wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, okay? So there's other things that are going on in Sodom and Gomorrah than other places, okay? And when it comes to strange flesh and things like that, what you're dealing with is unnatural sins, okay? There's certain things that are natural, okay? And not to excuse the natural sins of like adultery, murder, lying, stealing, coveting, right? Those are obviously you should be keeping the commandments as much as you can, and those are sins, right? But then there's unnatural sins, like homosexuality, men with men, women with women, pedophilia, bestiality. These things are unnatural, okay? There's things that a normal person doesn't struggle with, okay? And if you struggle with these sins that I just mentioned there, then you need to get out of our church now. We will not ever have a homosexual, a pedophile, bestiality. Good night. I mean, at least that's still spoken against, right? But you know what? That's probably coming down the doors too. If that will never be allowed in our church. So those things are unnatural. At that point, you're an animal. And you're past the hope of salvation. And I don't want you near any of our children. Our church has more than 50% children. We have more children in this church than adults. And you better believe that we're going to take every precaution that we can when it comes to our children. And you know what? This sermon, children, you say, well, why is this so important? Because I want you to understand why we're so maybe over the top when it comes to how we deal with things here. And you say, well, you know, why did you kick that one person out? Well, you know what? That person, that Jesse, for example, I'll give you an example. You know, I didn't have proof that he was a predator, but he had all the red flags. He had all the red flags. He would talk. He'd try to talk to children aside from other people. There's all kinds of other things that that are just stupid that he would say. But on top of that, you say, well, you know, did you know for sure he's a predator? No, but if I think that he is, if you walk like a duck and quack like a duck, then I'm going to assume you're a duck and you're out of our church. I'm not playing with that junk, okay? And listen, if someone tries to come in here and they have a record of it, no brainer. Get out of our church before you even hit the door. So when it comes to this sermon, children, I want you to understand, when you read this story, why it's so important that we take the precautions we do. Because, you know what? We live in a perilous world. And I don't want you to go to sleep at night just afraid of everything in the world. Okay? But at the same time, you know what? We as parents are not naive. We know what goes on in the world. We know what the Bible says about these people. And we're not going to play games with it. So don't you worry about it, but at the same time, listen to us and do what we tell you to do when it comes to when we're dealing with your safety and all that. Okay. Now, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, this is a story where God comes down and he's walking upon the earth. And I believe this is obviously a pre-Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus, and you know, before he was born of the Virgin Mary. But he basically comes down to talk to Abraham about the fact that he's going to have Isaac and all that. But after this whole conversation, there's two men with him who turn out to be angels. And after this conversation that they're having about Isaac and all that, basically the Lord and these two men that are with him, the two angels, are looking towards Sodom about what they're going to do with it. Okay? Notice what it says here in verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Now, when you say, well, what is this talking about when it comes to the cry of it? Well, go to Habakkuk chapter 1. Go to Habakkuk chapter 1. And the minor prophets there, toward the end of the Old Testament there. So Habakkuk chapter 1. I need to speed up my pace here. I got too many things that I want to say on this subject. But I need to get through the story. I haven't got to Genesis 19 yet. But in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Sound familiar? About the story that's about the, that we're going to go into in Genesis chapter 19, that there's this cry going out of violence. And that whole story is violence. Okay, they're trying to violate the angels that come in. They're trying to violate Lot. And, you know, Judges 19 gets into a similar story with that. But go to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. So it talks about how Sodom is wicked and they're sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They're not just typical sinners, okay? They're not like grandma down the street that's a sinner, you know, just like everybody else. For all of sin and come short of the glory of God, okay? But in Psalm 11, verse 5, and this isn't popular, but you know what? You don't get very far in Psalms until you see some imprecatory type things that are said. When you see some things that God does or feels that doesn't fit your mold of who God is. And in Psalm 11, verse 5, it says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and notice this, him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. It says that God, to the soul, hates those that love violence. Okay? There's people out there that love violence. That's when someone's getting violated. They love it. They love doing it, and they love seeing other people do it. God hates them. You're like, I thought God loves everybody. Wrong. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved everybody at one point. I mean, you know, when little Jeffrey Dahmer was a baby, God loved him, wanted him to get saved, but there came a point where he became an animal. He became a monster. And at that point, the Bible says, there I hated them and will love them no more, as it says in Hosea. So, now we keep reading there in verse 6. It says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest, this shall be the portion of their cup. Sounds like the same God, you know, that we're dealing with in Genesis chapter 19, we're dealing with here in Psalms. You know, this is the sweet psalmist of Israel, my friends. You're like, oh, you know, you're in Genesis and all that stuff. Why can't you give us some sweet lightness, you know? Well, we didn't make it very far in Psalms. Okay, so when it comes to this, I want you to get an idea that God hates those that love violence. There are people that God hates today and that he doesn't love anymore. And listen, for him to do what he did to Sodom, that wasn't loving, right? But it was righteous. He was right to do it. Now, go to Genesis chapter 18, verse 22. So, in this story, so he's basically saying, hey, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If, you know, he's basically going down there to see, you know, the cry of it and all that. In verse 22, and obviously God already knows what's going on with this, okay? It's kind of like the, you know, when he tells people to do things or when he says that, hey, this is, you know, is this true? It's a rhetorical thing that's going on there. But he's kind of doing it to prove it, right? It's kind of like, well, I was down there. I saw, you know, I sent my angels down there and it was there, you know. And but in verse 22, it says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, and Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Okay? Now, he goes back and forth with this, because he's just like, oh, that wasn't enough. You know, he's like, maybe he won't find 50, right? He brings it down to 45. Then he goes down to 40. Then he goes down to 30. Then he goes down to 20. And in verse 32, it says, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So he should have said one, you know, because that'd be the only way that it probably would have worked. Or two, or whatever it is, you know. I mean, we don't really know about his wife and his daughters, whether they were saved or not. The Bible does tell us that Lot was saved. But at the same time, you know, that means that there wasn't 10 saved people there. When we're talking about righteous, we're talking about saved people. People who has the righteousness of God imputed unto them by believing on Christ. So there wasn't 10 saved people there. That's the type of city you're dealing with. Now, you know, America, their only saving grace, if you will, is that there is a remnant of saved people in America. And it even says about Israel that if there wasn't a remnant, they would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. If there wasn't a remnant of saved people. And that's the only reason that America, I believe, is not being completely annihilated right now. Now, when you think about the fact that he won't destroy it for 10's sake. But even after that, you know, obviously he didn't find 10, but he did save Lot and tried to save as many of Lot's family as he could, right? And that goes back to 2 Peter chapter 2, and verse 9. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So when you think about, you know, like, well, are you praying that God will destroy our country? Yes. Because the wickedness that's in our country. But here's the thing. What you have to understand is that I know that the Lord is able to deliver the righteous out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. You know, but on the same token, obviously, I know that God's long-suffering, wants many people to get saved. And so at the same time, I understand that it's not being destroyed now because the Lord waited for the precious fruit of the earth and he has long patience for it. And he wants many people to get saved. And so you can understand him holding back. But it will be destroyed eventually. You know, maybe not in our day. Maybe 100 years from now. But America will answer for its sins eventually. And go to Genesis chapter 19. We'll get into the story here. So I know this is a familiar story, but for you kids, it may not be. Maybe you haven't read the story. Notice what it says here in Genesis 19, verse 1. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. So those two men that went down, the two men that were with the Lord, now it's saying they're angels. Right? This kind of goes back to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I mean, case in point. You know, there's these two men. They look like men, but they're actually angels, okay? But the narrator of the Bible is telling us that these are angels, and they come to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." So you can see, obviously, he's being hospitable. Okay, he's entertaining strangers. He's you know, basically entertaining them, if you will. But there's a reason behind it, because they're like, "No, we're gonna stay in the streets," you know. And notice what it says in verse 3. "And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did break unleavened bread, and they did eat." I believe there's a reason why he's saying, "No, you don't want to be in the streets," because he knows what goes on in the streets. Like, Lot, I believe, is a saved guy, obviously, from the Bible, and he doesn't have these wicked, you know, thoughts and intentions like the Sodomites do there. But he's basically, he knows what would happen to these guys if he just lets them stay out in the street. And now, obviously, they're angels. He doesn't know that at the moment. So they would be able to, take care of themselves. But if they weren't, and they were just normal guys, you know, the story would have been different. And Genesis chapter 19, verse 4, notice what it says here. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom," so I want this to be very clear, the men of Sodom, the men of the city, encompassed the house round, both old and young. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, you know, are Sodomites, you know, are queers, pedophiles?" It says both old and young that were there. Listen, if you'll sleep with a man, you'll sleep with anything. And you know what you say? "Well, have they all done it?" They may not have all done it, but they're all capable of it. And I'm not taking my chances with that garbage. And when it comes to this, you know what? The biggest thing, you say, "Well, what, you know, you care what two men do or whatever?" Listen, I care about what God says is right and what's wrong. You know, if they were off in an island somewhere doing whatever they wanted to do, you know what? Nuts to them. God will deal with them. But here's the problem, is that they're predators, and they even said it in their own song, you know, that queer San Francisco gay men's choir even said, "We're coming for your children." Now, we knew it a long time ago. We've been preaching it for a long time that that's been the case. But you know what? They just come out and say it. They're just brazen about saying it. And you know what? The Bible is saying it from the very beginning. You know what Jesus said about those that would hurt the little children? He said it's better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and you be cast into the sea. You might as well just go ahead and do it because you're better off. And you say, "Well, what do you think that these pedophiles should do?" They should kill themselves. Because the government should be the ones doing it. The government should be the one killing rapists and executing them. No pedophile should be living right now. And when it comes to why I get angry about the sodomite agenda, it's because of our children. One, they shouldn't have to see all this filth. They shouldn't have to see the drag queen story times and all these like, they look like clowns. They look like some clown from some horror flick. And all my kids have to see this, and I have to explain to them what in the world is even going on in the world. You know, I don't let them watch horror movies, but you know what? It's forced upon them. And when it comes to this story here, the thing that gets me is that there's old and young. And I believe that there's a lot of cases, you know, when it comes to this, there's a lot of molestation that goes on. And you can think about the cries that are coming from Sodom. Who are those cries coming from? And it says all the people from every quarter, okay? So specifically the men, both old and young, but all the people from every quarter are there. And it says, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now, when it says that we may know them, it's not like, so we can get, you know, we just want to get to know who these guys are, you know? We just want to have a little bit of dinner and, you know, figure out who these guys are. We just want to know them. That's not what that means. When it says that we may know them, this is like in Genesis 4, verse 1, where it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Okay? This is like when Mary was talking to Gabriel and says, how can this thing be, seeing I know not a man? It's not that she doesn't know any man. She's literally espoused to Joseph. They just haven't consummated the marriage yet. And even when Jesus was born, or before Jesus was born, it says in Matthew that he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Okay? That terminology, because the Bible is very discreet in how it describes things. Okay? They lie together. They know each other, right? And so when it says that we know them, that's talking about the wicked act of men with men that you know, is being just shoved down everybody's throat today. Go to Romans chapter 1. I'll show you another place where it describes, you know, the Bible obviously is wholesome. The Bible is going to be pure and holy, and it's not going to use, it sometimes uses crass language. I mean, but at the same time, it's holy, it's true, it's pure, you know. But it's not going to use things that shouldn't be said, okay? And the Bible says that the things of that it's not even, it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So I'm not going to get up here and tell you exactly what they do in secret, but you adults know what they do in secret. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verse 26, it says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know what that means? They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth, reprobate concerning the faith. At that point, you know, to do those things, they had to be rejected. To be a Jeffrey Dahmer, you had to have been rejected by God. That just shows me that Jeffrey Dahmer had been rejected by God. He is now given up unto his own vile affections. Obviously, he's dead in hell right now, but there's other people like him, okay? And there's other people that are wicked like that. By the way, look up, you know, in your own free time, obviously, look up psychopaths, serial killers, and look up the percentage of them that are homos. It might shock you. Jeffrey Dahmer, what was the Green River Killer's name? I'm forgetting it now. But basically, a lot of these, they were pedophiles, they were homos, just down the line, okay? Now, Genesis chapter 19, go back to Genesis chapter 19. So get the story. There's two angels that come into town. Obviously, God sends them there because they're, you know, basically send them there. There's without a doubt, like, this stuff is going on in the city. There's no doubt, right? I mean, the stuff is literally trying to happen to these angels, let alone them just seeing it, right? And in verse 6 here, this is where it blows my mind about Lot. When you think about the failures of Lot, this is probably the one right here that blows my mind. This is the one right here that if I didn't have the New Testament to tell me he was saved, I would question. I would be like, how could you do that? Notice what it says in verse 6. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Oh, brethren? Oh, yeah, I'm going to call these guys brethren. But then keep reading there. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. Again, what are we talking about? They're virgins. Which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. I can't even fathom how he could say that. Okay? One, I would definitely be giving these strangers that I don't even know out there before my daughters. I mean, like, what? Are you? I don't care if they're adults. I don't care if they're in their 20s. No way. You know what's going to be coming out that door before anything comes out that door? A bunch of lead. A bunch of jacketed lead that's going to be coming out that door after them before they ever even come close. I would go out there and let them do what they wanted unto me before I'd ever let them touch my daughters. This is what happens when Christians get watered down, get out of the Bible, and get into the world and pitch their tent toward Sodom. They go as far as just sacrificing their daughters to the world. Not happening here. And we have a lot of children in this church. We have a lot of young ladies in this church. And listen, young ladies, you need to listen up. When your father is overprotective, or, you know, in your eyes, you would say overprotective or anything like that, know this, is that there is wickedness in the world. There are people out there that won't even sleep until they've done mischief, until they've caused someone to fall. There are psychopaths out there. There are people that are past feeling, without hope, and that are just out there to molest and do whatever they want to do. And it's a small percentage, okay? So don't think like, oh, man, I'm out at Walmart, and it's just like everywhere, you know? I'm not talking about just unsaved people. I'm talking about there's a small percentage. We're talking like 1 to 2% of the population that fit this bill, and we need to be aware of it. The Bible says that they were destroyed and that fire and brimstone destroyed them, that they would be set forth as an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And this is a story that we need to know. But this one just baffles me. I'm just like, what are you doing, Lot? Like, at that point, I think Lot should have just died and obviously I'm not God, which is a good thing. You know, when it comes to, like, long-suffering, God obviously has a lot more long-suffering than I ever will. But this story, every time I read it, I'm just like, what are you doing? Go to Judges 19. Judges 19, I just want to read this real quick. Judges 19 is a different story, different time, and we're talking like hundreds of years, you know, later that this happens. But this story is where a man and his concubine, basically it's like his wife, but she's not necessarily like high up in the rank of being wife. It's like if you have multiple wives, you have some that are kind of like lower. Obviously it's wrong. So you should have one wife and not have multiple wives. But basically he's going through this town and there's this old man there. It's kind of the same story. They get into this town and he's like, don't stay out in the streets at night. Come into my house. All that, right? And it says in verse 22, it says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial. Belial is another name for the devil. Okay? You know, having, you know, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Okay, we're talking about the devil. So these are sons of the devil. And it says, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. Man, it's like history repeats itself. I want you to note something here. Who's the aggressors in both these situations? I preached a sermon on the death penalty and got on the news for it because I brought up the fags. Our whole channel was taken down just because of, you know, preaching on this type of stuff. The sermons are taken down because of this. Because they say, well, you're calling for violence. Listen, I said the government should be the ones executing this. Because the Bible says in Leviticus 20:13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the government should be doing. But you don't see me going out and picketing their stupid, you know, parades or anything like that, though I am against them. But at the same time, I'm not going to go down there and fill my eyes with that filth. But guess what they do? They come, and they come after churches. They come after people that preach what the Bible teaches on this. They're the aggressors. They're the ones leaving the messages saying that they're going to kill me. They're going to kill my family. They're going to rape my children. You're like, do they do that? Oh, yes, they do. I have a whole email that's called reprobate emails. Now, they're dogs, like the Bible says. So a lot of times they have a lot of bark and no bite. Meaning that, you know, I'm not afraid. You know, they're like, oh, are you homophobic? No. Am I afraid what they will do to other to children? Yeah. I'm afraid of what they'll do to other children and what they'll do to other people and stuff like that. But am I afraid that they're going to do something to me and my children? No. Because I have the Lord on my side. And when you see the story in Genesis, so basically, you know, he's trying to, like, you know, reason with them and gives them this ultimatum that is ridiculous. And the angels, notice what, first of all, I want you to see in verse 9 here of Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse 9. It says, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. Isn't that funny? Judge not that you be not judged. Listen, I'm not a fag, never will be a fag, so I can judge that all day I want. Because I don't have a beam of being a fag in my eye. So guess what? I can judge that till the cows come home, that queers, that men with men is wicked and should be put to death. There's no qualms of me worrying about being a hypocrite on that. But isn't it funny that they're like, they're the ones beating down the house. They're the ones that are just, like, being violent, and they're the ones that are being, you know, the aggressors here, and they're like, what are you judging us for? Isn't that exactly what's going on today in our country? Why are you judging me? It's like, you're the one that's literally being violent, hurting people. Now, in Genesis chapter 19 there, and keep reading there, then they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So they're trying to break down this door. It says, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Notice this, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. So they struck them blind. And then it says here, both small and great. Now, small and great a lot of times will mean like strong or weak. So it didn't matter. It's like he struck them all blind. It says, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. I want you to think about that. They're struck blind, and they're still, like, trying to get through the door. That is the implacability of these people, okay, of these sodomites. And by the way, that term sodomite stems from the story. When you see sodomite used in the Bible, and they're like, you know, King Asa took out the sodomites of the land. Who do you think he's talking about? He's not talking about the actual inhabitants of Sodom, because they're all dead. He's talking about people that do the acts that were done in Sodom. Okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 19, verse 12 there, basically these angels pull them in and they're like, all right, you need to find whoever you can, any of your family. And notice what it says here in verse, and the men said unto Lot, hey, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whosoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So I believe he actually had sons as well. Now, it doesn't mention sons being talked to or anything like that, but he definitely had at least two son-in-laws, because he talks to sons-in-law, and he has two daughters, because it says there's two daughters. But it says, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Here's what happens when you live in the world. Listen, salvation is by grace through faith. Salvation is not by works at all. Once you have the gift of God, which is eternal life, you have it forever. You can never lose your salvation. But let me tell you something. If you live in this world and you pitch your tent towards Sodom, good luck convincing anybody else about salvation. The Bible talks about how they'll behold your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation. Not lifestyle evangelism. It's not like someone I'm living a good life and they're like, you know, what must I do to be saved? And they come up to you and ask you about salvation. No. But if you're living in the world and you're for the world, and then you come to them saying, hey, listen, you need to get saved because, you know, you're going to go to hell, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to be like, what are you talking about? And that's what they did to Lot. So it tells you about he was saved, but in the end, he obviously wasn't living like he should be living. He's living in the world. He's just like one of them to a certain extent, obviously. Obviously, Christians can't go down that path of being reprobate, but it says in verse 15, it says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here. So he's basically like, you can't get anybody else to come with you. Take who's here with you, your wife and your two daughters, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, so listen, these angels are like, we're going to destroy this place. You need to get out of here. Take who's with you here in the house. And he's just lingering there. It says, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So he literally, these angels had to take him by the hand and drag them out of the city. And he says, don't look behind you, escape for your life, go into the mountains. And then it talks about how basically he's like, no, I don't want to go into the mountain, I'm going to be destroyed up there. So long story short here, he basically goes to this small city in the plain, and he's accepted. Basically, God is merciful unto him, and he can stay there in this city, which, if you look back in Genesis, you don't have to right now, but it was called Bela, but then it was called Zoar for this reason. It says, haste thee, escape thither in verse 22, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. So it was called Zoar because of that whole event about that, okay? But it's also very interesting that it basically stating that I can't do anything until you're there, right? We're talking about how the Lord will deliver the righteous out of temptations. The fact is that God will not pour out his wrath until he's taken care of his own. And this really gets into the fact that, hey, you know what? The tribulation is going to come, and there's going to be great tribulation upon the saved. And, you know, you're going to be dealing with the Antichrist and all that stuff. But when Jesus comes, we're going to be taken out before the wrath is poured out. The same day, okay, that we're taken out, the wrath is poured out. But he's not going to pour it out until we're out. Okay, he can't do it until we're out. Okay, so obviously that's another sermon for another day dealing with that. Now, go to verse 23 there. It says, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. So fire and brimstone comes down on Sodom and Gomorrah. Even archaeologists say that fire and brimstone destroyed the city that's where Sodom and Gomorrah near Jordan in the plains of Jordan. And I remember reading this article, like, there's just no doubt that that's how this was destroyed. I mean, there's no other way to explain how this was destroyed. They said, but, you know, this basically is why, you know, what they say is that, well, this cosmic event is what the writers of Genesis were looking to. Instead of, like, Genesis being the story, and that it's God that's the one that did this, that's why no physical evidence is going to be a reason why someone gets saved. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, like I said, you know, those physical things isn't going to convince people to get saved. But, so he overthrows the cities, he destroys them. In verse 19, or verse 26, we're almost done here. It says in verse 26, it says, but his wife Lot, I'm sorry, his wife Lot. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now go to Luke chapter 17, because you may think, well, it doesn't have, I mean, it's just kind of this random thing that happens, or happened there. But it kind of shows you that Lot was lingering, he didn't want to leave, but even his wife looks back. When they were told not to look back, she looks back, and you could probably think about all the reasons why she would look back. I mean, she does have daughters that are there. She does have family that's there. It's not that you can't understand, like, the reasoning behind why you would look back. But notice what it says here in Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. It's like one little phrase there. It's like, remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot? She looked back. She looked back and she became his pillar of salt. Notice what it says here in verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. When it comes to this, it talks about this in Luke chapter 9 as well. It says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What it's talking about is basically being a disciple, right? Being saved or getting saved is being a child of God. You're born again, right? But being a disciple, that's a choice you make every single day. And we have that song, that simple song that we sing, basically, I've decided to follow Jesus. But it says, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Okay? The whole point is that we're going the way we should be going, don't look back. Okay? And when it comes to Lot's wife, you know, and listen, children, you should be listening up because it might be a question dealing with what did she turn into? What'd she do to turn into it? You know, stuff like that, okay? When it comes to this, is that we as Christians should be thinking about this. And when it comes to God's destruction or even his judgment, and let's just say proverbially, meaning this is, I didn't say that right, but just leave it there. But, but let's just say we're just talking about the Bible. You're reading the Bible, and you read a story, and you're just like, man, that seems like overboard. You know? Well, are you looking back into the world too much? Do you have the mind of Christ? Are you really thinking the way God wants you to think? Okay? When you think about stuff that's going on in the world, or you think about like how things should be done, and if it did happen the way the Bible said it happened, would you be sympathizing with them? Because today, when it comes to this story, when it comes to Sodom and Gomorrah, I think of sympathizers. The ones that make me more angry than anything are Christians that sympathize with it. That makes me sick, okay? Because these people are animals that do this stuff, okay? And they're going to get theirs in the end. The government obviously should be executing judgment. And, you know, in the end, obviously God's going to take care of that, right? But the thing that makes me more sick than anything are Christians that sympathize with it and that will basically be on their side in a lot of cases. They'll be on their side when a church that's preaching the Bible is getting persecuted by them. And they'll be like, well, we need to love them. We need to love and, you know, we need to bring them in. Listen, we go out soul winning every single week. And I let the chips fall where they may. When I give the gospel, if someone will listen to it, I'll give them the gospel. Okay? I'll say this. I do not believe that a pedophile can get saved. I do not believe that a homosexual can get saved. And obviously that would go down the line with any unnatural, you know, when they're doing unnatural sins, that's just showing me that they're incapable of believing, okay? But if someone will listen, I'll give them the gospel and let the chips fall where they may, okay? That's how I'm going to reach the world. We don't bring people in to get them saved. We go out to get them saved anyway. So their whole premise is like, we need to bring them in and, you know, we need to have all these loving arms and coming in. No, actually, The church is for believers. The church is not for you to get saved. The church is for the saved to go out and get other people saved. Okay? And so they have everything backwards to begin with. But second of all, you know what? You may say, well, you lack compassion. You know, Pastor Robbins, you lack compassion because you don't care for the Sodomites. One would say you hate them. And one would be right. One would say you hate pedophiles. You know, one would say you're right about that, because I do. But it's not like I'm in the flesh. Like, oh, you're in the flesh, Pastor Robinson. Why don't you reel in that hate? You know what? Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with them that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. That's what the Bible says. That's the sweet psalmist of Israel. You know what God says? That the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hated. So guess what? I hate those that love violence. Because I hate, the things that God hates. And the Bible says about the sodomites, it says they're haters of God. So do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Pedophiles are in that group. So when it comes down to this story, it's a very important story. One, because it's mentioned throughout the Bible. So, I mean, if you don't know the story, you're going to be like, what in the world is going on with Sodom and Gomorrah? Keeps bringing this up that they got destroyed. The question is, why did it get destroyed? And you have a bunch of panty-waist preachers out there that don't have any hair on their legs that will basically say, well, the sin of Sodom is pride. Yeah, that's part of it. But keep reading in Ezekiel chapter 16, or in Ezekiel, where it basically states that the sin was pride and arrogancy and all this. But then it says, and they did abominations, and therefore I took them away as I saw good. So keep reading, and you'll see exactly why he took them away. Were they proud? Yeah, they were proud. Were they haughty? Yeah, they were haughty. But, you know, pride cometh before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. They fell. But you know what? It was they were going after strange flesh. They were beguiling unstable souls. They could not cease from sin, and that's why they were destroyed. And the last thing I'll show you here, and we'll be done, is in Genesis 19, verse 27. Abraham sees it from afar off, the destruction. So Abraham, in verse 27, it says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. So you can really see why Abraham's like, 50 righteous, 40 righteous. You know, like he's going down the line because he's thinking of Lot, because Lot's his nephew. Okay? And so God obviously... Abraham was a friend of God. You know, he was obviously a righteous man. He was saved, but also he did the works as well. And, you know, God spared Lot. And when it comes to this story, children, you need to know the story. And I'm not saying to dwell on the story. And, like, it's kind of like hell. You need to know about hell, but I'm not, like, just constantly thinking about hell. Okay? But you do need to have a healthy thought process when it comes to this story. Okay? When it comes to what these people are like. Because, listen, if you were in public school today, kids, if you were in public school, you would be told that homos were nice and they're just the nicest people in the world. If you watch all the Hollywood movies, they're the nicest people in the world. And, you know, basically trust them with your children, all this stuff. And there's Baptist churches that will literally let, ex-homos and ex-pedophiles get into church ministry and watch children. Listen, at our church, we don't even let anybody watch anybody else's children, let alone that. We have a mother baby room, which means that the parents have to be in there with their own children at all times, okay? But on top of that, there's no way that we'd ever let, some guy come in here and just be like, yeah, I want to be a head of the nursery. Crazy. And when it comes to this story, you know, we may get banned on YouTube, but so what? It needs to be preached. This story needs to be preached. And you know what? You know what's interesting, too, is that, you know, they can try to censor this all they want, but the more you censor the truth, the more people want to hear it. You know, you ban a book, you're like, oh, you know, they banned this book. And people are like, what in the world was in that book? Right? Why'd they ban that? And so when it comes to this message, they can keep pushing and trying to oppress it and trying to oppress it and trying to oppress it. But you know what? People have eyes to see, and they see what's going on. And the more that this stuff comes to fruition, the more they have more boldness to just come out and say what they want to say about what they feel and what they want to do, the more people are going to be like, you know what? The Bible's actually right about that. But you know what? I'm not going to be a Lot when it comes to this and just wait till the day that something horrible happens. I'm going to be proactive about it and say, you know what? The Bible says it. I believe it now. We're not messing with it. We're staying far away from it. And you say, well, was that one guy that you kicked out, was he for sure a reprobate, or was he a pedophile or something like that? I don't know. Maybe he isn't. But you know what? I don't care. I'd rather him be gone. And that's a warning to anybody that would ever come to our church thinking that they're going to ever try to start something in here. Listen, one, we're not idiots, okay? And most of the men in here and the women know the Bible as well as I do. And they're going to know exactly what kind of flags to look for. But one, I'm your pastor, and I will be looking out for all this stuff. But two, know this, is that almost every man in here is packing. So you come in here trying to mess with one of our children, then, you know, you may not make it out. Let's put it that way. At least make it out in one piece. Because this is not a game. We're not playing church tonight, or today. I guess not yet. We're not playing church. This is a serious sermon on a Sunday morning, for sure. But we're going through all these big stories in the Bible. So I can't go without going through Sodom and Gomorrah. And I did preach through the book of Genesis. So obviously I hit through the story back when we first started the church. But it needs to be hit way more than once, for sure. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to do really quick. I know it's kind of a longer sermon there, but we're going to do some questions for the kids real quick. So let's pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Genesis. Thank you for the story, though a harsh story and though something that's hard to read sometimes when it comes to thinking about what's going on in our world right now. Lord, just pray that you'd help us to be vigilant, to not be naive, to be sober, and to obviously protect our children at all costs. And Lord, we just pray that you be with us throughout the day as we go out soul winning, and pray for many souls to be saved. And Lord, we love you and pray also in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so I don't have any questions prepared, but I'm just going to throw some ones out here, okay? And all right, first question. I'm trying to think if I want to do a trick question. All right. What time of day was it when the angels went into Sodom? Right, that wasn't a trick question. All right, adults, do you know? I'm going to make you feel really bad. Man, I got to really bring this down. Yes.
Even?
Yes, okay, even. All right. So I have like Reese's, Snickers, Kit Kats, Twix, Cowtails, Twizzlers, Almond Joys, and Smarties. Does everybody remember that? You don't want anything? All right, I'll take one for myself. No, I'm just kidding. All right. How many angels went into Sodom? Yes. Good job. What would you like? You just want to pick? Voices. I'm a joy. Cool. All right. What did God? I'm gonna bring it down a little here. What did God rain on Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it? We'll have to wait a little bit. How did he destroy Sodom and Gomorrah?
Fire, yeah. And brimstone.
Fire and brimstone. That's right.
Cowtail.
Yep. All right. Let me think here. What did Lot's wife turn into when she looked back? Yes.
Salt.
Yep. A pillar of salt. What do you want?
Cowtail.
Man, the cowtail is popular. I'm going to hit somebody. I remember this, actually, how this worked. Yeah, got it. All right. Let me think. Do like one or two more here. All you remember how many daughters Lot had that went out of the city with him? Two. Yep. What would you like? Cowtail? We're going to have to load up on cowtails. I'm sorry. Let me think. So when Abraham asked for there to be so many righteous people so he doesn't destroy it, do you remember what the number, the lowest number he got down to about how many righteous people would be there? You remember? It started at 50 and went down. It's okay. You can go. Joshua, you want to?
10.
Good job. And what do you want?
Smarty.
All right. One more, and we'll be done. I'm just trying to sugar everybody up. Let's think here. All right. What chapter in the Bible does this story take place? Josiah? he's like I think I saw your hand first. Yeah, that's the book. Remember the chapter? Okay. So 19. Good job. What would you like?
There is more cowtails.
You trying to make a whole cowtail out of that? So, all right, so obviously it's been a little while since we've done that, so kids, when we do these, especially these big ones where we're doing big stories, listen up, because I'm going to ask questions. I'll try to keep the questions a little on the lower end there, but Brother Dave's going to come and sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.
All right, take your song books and turn to song number 15. Song number 15 in your songbooks. We'll sing Lead Me to Calvary. And if you would stand, we'll sing song number 15. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou hast lain, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed, guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show me the empty.